In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There were questions in the previous video, Understanding the Trap of Satan, and in some other contents about purgatory. We have put together most of those questions that we will answer in this video for the good of many souls. The first question asks, Hi there, I heard a lady saying the other day that the internet must be the Antichrist. I have thought about this since hearing it, but wonder if it could be so. I have thought in the past who or what could be the Antichrist, as it is supposed to be let free in the world since mid-last century, according to some saints I'm sure I've read. Just thought it's possibly not, but thought I'd ask, as it isn't leaving my thoughts since hearing it, and I knew immediately on hearing I'd have to ask you. Thanks. God bless all. Answer. St. Paul the Apostle, in his second letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 2, verses 2 to 4, speaking about the coming of our Lord and his preparatory signs, tells us the following. Let no one deceive you in any way. First, apostasy must come and manifest the impious man, the son of perdition, the adversary, who rises above all that bears the name of God or is worshipped, to the point of sitting himself in the sanctuary of God and proclaiming himself to be God. Therefore, the Antichrist is a personal being, that is, a person who will fully manifest himself at the end of time for the last test of believers. But the glorious Lord will defeat his enemy. It is a mistake to say that the internet is the Antichrist. Therefore, the internet is a way that, unfortunately, is closely linked to the works of the devil and his plans. Also, it is very likely that when the Antichrist fully manifests himself, he will use the internet to spread his image and message. Question. I'm still having a difficult time with this concept of purgatory. Either the blood of Christ and his sacrifice washes away our sins, or it does not. If a debt is forgiven, the debt no longer exists. So, if purgatory is real, you still have to pay the debt even though it's forgiven? This makes no sense on earth or in heaven. If purgatory is real, then the passion of Christ was a waste of time. This can't be the case. Please, someone explain this to me. Answer. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ washes away our sins. But when we sin, two things happen, and they are guilt and damage. The guilt is the responsibility for what we have done, and the penalty is the damage we have caused by sinning. When we confess to a priest, by the merits of the sacrifice and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, our sins are washed away and forgiven. But then it is up to us to repair the damage or consequences that we have created with those sins. So, when a person dies in a state of grace or friendship with God, but without having repaired the damage created by those confessed sins, the person is saved thanks to the sacrifice and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. But still, they will arrive before the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ with that debt or unrepaired damage. For this reason, this soul will have to go through purgatory before entering heaven. In the spiritual state of purgatory, the soul will go through a purification that will cancel that debt or unrepaired damage to obtain the purity and beauty necessary to enter heaven. The Bible is very clear about this. Nothing unclean will enter heaven. Revelation chapter 21, verse 27. Question: Is vanity a deadly sin? Answer: No, the deadly sin is pride, and vanity is closely linked to pride. We could say that vanity is what feeds pride. And what is pride? Pride is this feeling of superiority over others, and this feeling of superiority is fed by this whole attitude of always being preferred or admired by others, which is precisely vanity. The best medicine is humility, and as a great model, we have the Virgin Mary, who is a human being like us. Our mother, the Virgin Mary, never requested to appear. She never requested to have the first place. The Litany of Humility by the servant of God, Raphael Mary Del Val, who lived from 1865 to 1930, could help a lot. Question: What about pornography? Can you talk about it? I've been struggling with it, and I find myself falling into it every 2 to 3 days after confession. What do I do? Answer: Pornography is an addiction, and a very harmful addiction. And like any addiction, it enslaves us, and it makes us need more and more each time, not only in frequency, but also in the intensity of its content. Psychologically and spiritually, it destroys us. And for all this, it is best to quit pornography radically. But to achieve this, first of all, the help of God's grace is necessary, because divine grace is the one that heals our hearts. It is the one that strengthens our will. It is the one that gives light to our understanding. Divine grace is the one that orders our disordered passions, the one that frees our soul from the chains with which the devil wants to enslave us. Divine grace helps us in our conversion and allows us to achieve holiness. For this reason, and to overcome pornography and other sins, it is best to lead a life of constant prayer and sacraments, in which, for example, frequent or daily Mass becomes a habit, together with the prayer of the Holy Rosary prayed with faith and love, which the Holy Rosary itself is also an excellent source of graces, because our Blessed Mother, the Virgin Mary, is the mediator of all graces and the great help of all Christians. The Holy Rosary is like the medicine for our soul that we take when we are sick. For example, if we have an infection in our body, we have to take an antibiotic every 8 hours for 4 or 5 days in a row to recover our health. It would be useless if we take the antibiotic once a day for 1 or 2 days. The same happens with divine grace. If we see that one or more sins are constantly defeating us, we must seek God's grace as often as possible, every day. Our sweet Lord Jesus Christ is waiting for us to be able to help us, to be able to heal us, to be able to free us, and to be able to sanctify us. But it is up to us to go to Him through the sacraments, especially the Holy Eucharist, through prayer, and through our Blessed Mother, the Virgin Mary. A priest's accompaniment and spiritual direction could also be very beneficial for the soul. And you also have to radically remove everything that is a source of temptation for you. If you have pornographic videos, delete them. If you have content on social media that could make you fall into temptation, delete it from your computer and cell phone. If you are in a group where they send pornographic images or videos, leave that group, and so on, with everything that may be tempting. As Saint Augustine of Hippo said, God who created you without you will not be able to save or heal you, without your collaboration, without your effort. Try to occupy your time with things that are truly good for your mind, your body, and above all, for your soul. Take courage. because the effort will be worth it. Question: what is a temptation? Answer: a temptation is a seductive invitation that the devil uses to try to make us fall into sin. A temptation is not a sin. For example, if someone offends us, that immediately makes us angry, and at that moment in which we are feeling that anger, we could have the following thoughts. Who does that person think he is to offend me like that? How dare you? I have to put you in your place. All these thoughts are temptations. They are seductive invitations to fall into sin. That is, to return the offense, take an eye for an eye, and also make that person feel bad or hurt. If we consent to these thoughts and return the offense by hurting the other person, that temptation becomes a sin. Another way in which temptations can become sins is through our thoughts themselves. In other words, we may not say something or do something to hurt the other person, but if we mentally judge, insult, or offend the other person, it becomes a sin. God allows the temptations for the good of the soul, so that the person, counting on his help, can exercise virtue, which in this example would be responding with charity, and thus growing in conversion and reaching holiness. Question: if you had a soul from purgatory visit you, how many masses would they need offered for them? Answer: in the church, we have a tradition known as the Gregorian Masses. This tradition is born from the experience that Saint Gregory the Great had with a soul in purgatory. After he celebrated 30 Masses in a row for the soul of Justice, a monk who had passed away in the convent of Saint Andrew in Rome, at the end of the 30th Mass, the soul of the monk appeared to one of his fellow monks and told him that he had already been delivered from purgatory. Currently, we can also find in most parishes what is known as perpetual enrollments, which are for the living and the deceased, which are Mass intentions that are offered continuously or perpetually, in other words, always. This is a great help for the souls of the departed. Please consider watching this video, Release Souls from Purgatory by Saint Gregory the Great, that is pinned in the comments section of this video. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.